do this, I thought I'll just give a mini shiur on the topic. The idea in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, they have a sefer that one of the Gedolim found at Ksav Yad from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. So he quotes things from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz and he adds on his own. So he calls it the Plesei Hamada. The crazy place he was on Yeridei, written by Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz. So whatever he quotes from Rabbi Yonison, he calls it the place. Whatever he says on his own, this is a Sefer Hamadah. So he starts off, it's on page 234 in all the standard editions of the Yeridei. He lists off Alabez Gimel Dalet, that there are four different kinds of ribis. There's ribis Kitsutsa, that's the Yisadei, right? So then you have Avak ribis. Then you have three categories of ribis, the Rabbanah. The first is Zabak Ribis, the second the Rabbanon is Mechziki Ribis, and the third the Rabbanon is Ha'aromas Ribis. Now, what's the difference between these different categories? So Ribis Kitsutso is only violated if it's, number one, Derech Halvoa. If it's not Derech Halvoa, it's not going to be Ribis Kitsutso. Let's say I sell you an automobile on installments. And I say, if you pay me now, it's $30,000, and if you pay a little bit every couple of months, it's going to turn out to be $31,000. But that's only ribis de rabbanon. Ribis de rice is only derech halvor. Or let's say they charge tuition. So they say whoever pays tuition on time is so much, and whoever pays later, it's going to cost more. So that's only going to be ribis de rabbanon. Ribis de rice has to be derech halvor. Number two, ribis de rice has to be yosem min hakeren. It means that I'm charging something more. Let's say I lend you saw besaw. I lend you, I'm a dentist, and I need silver to fill the teeth. And I borrow silver from someone else, and then the price, I borrow the 2 ounces of silver, and then the price of silver goes up, and I give you back, and next year I give you back 2 ounces of silver. That's exactly what I borrowed, was 2 ounces of silver, but the silver is more valuable now. So that's only an issa ribis de rabbon, because on the level of the raisa, I gave exactly the same thing that I borrowed. The pasuk says in Chumash, so why does it say separately Neshach Kesef Neshach Choychol? So the Chavis Das, that's a sefer by the Prima Godem on Yerideya. So the Chavis Das, it's a sefer by the Nesivis on Yerideya. So the Chavis Das writes, you see from that pasuk that if I lend you a bushel of potatoes, Mikra Din Deraisi Mukhif to give me back a bushel of potatoes. If I lend you a bushel of tomatoes, Mikra Din Deraisi Mukhif to pay me back tomatoes. If I lend you money, the Mikra Din Mukhif to pay back money. That basically a Tosfos has in Bava Kamen and Bava Basra and a few Mesichtas, Bava Metzia. Tosfos quotes, Roga Rabbeinu Tam Loimer, Rabbeinu Tam used to say that there are Gimel Dinim Hay, that by Adama, by Nizikin, even if I have cash, I can pay you Shabbat Kesef. And by Schiras Poilem, you have to dafke pay cash. And by Halvor, the Rabbi Natam says, if he has cash, she has to pay back cash. For Zuzi Yoib, Zuzi Shokel, whatever you borrow, that's Mikra, then you have to pay back the same thing. If you don't have any cash to pay back by a halvor, if he lent me money, I'm going to give him back money. If I don't have any money, then the Gemara has an expression, Imori Rash Vasach Pari Ephraim. If the guy owes you money and he doesn't have money to pay back, so take bottles of wine, take old furniture, take used clothing, whatever he has. So the Rabbi Natam has such a comment, Zuzu Yoib, Zuzu Shokol, if he lent you money, Mikra Din, you have to pay him back in money. So the Chavadah says, yeah, that's what it says in Chumash. It says, Neshach Kesef, Neshach Oichel, means Mikra Din, if you borrow silver, you have to give back silver. If you borrow the potatoes, you have to give back potatoes. So that's why I saw Besor, the Mishnah is saying, the end of Perikah, Zer Neshach, there's an Issa de Rabbanah to lend Sor Besor. I lend you 100 bushels of potatoes now when you need it, and then in another 2 years you'll give me back 100 bushels of potatoes. In another 2 years, mustamed potatoes will cost more. Everything keeps on going up. So that's an Issa de Rabbanon, to lend so besor. How come it's not ribis de rice? Because on the level of the rice, it's not yosem min hakeren. Because the keren is determined by alpidin what you mukhiyev to give. So since mid de rice, you mukhiyev to give back, you borrowed 100 bushels of potatoes, you mukhiyev to give back 100 bushels of potatoes. So that's considered the keren. It's not considered yosem in hakeren. So in order to be ribis deraisa, you have to have, first of all, it should be derech halvor. That's a we paskin. If it's not derech halvor, it's derech mekech. If I sell you something on installment and I charge more because it's taking you so long to pay, that's the we paskin. That's only going to be ribis derabanan. It's only derech halvor. It's only if there was a kitzitza from the very outset. Let's say I lend you $100, and then with this $100, you invested it, and you reinvested, you became a multimillionaire, and then when you give me back the money, out of HaKar HaSata, you give me back $100, And here's a $10 tip. So the Gemara says that's only ribbis derabbanan. It's only ribbis deraisa if I stipulated at the time of halvoa, I made a ketzitza, I made a shuma. The Gemara says I made a shuma. I said I'm lending you $100 and I'm charging you 1% interest. So if I didn't say explicitly there was no ketzitza, there's only going to be ribbis derabbanan. So these are the conditions in order to violate ribbis deraisa. The Gemara says shuma milsehi. The Gemara has on the first daf in Ezel Nesha. Let's say I have a bank. And I lend beribis to anybody who comes in. And then I whisper in the ears of all of the Jewish people that when it comes time to pay back, you come to me and I'm not going to take any ribis. So the tellers in the bank are lending all of the money to Jews and non-Jews alike. They're charging interest to everybody. And everybody signs the agreement that they're borrowing so much money and they're going to pay 1% interest. And then when it comes time to pay, I'm not going to collect the ribis. So the Gemara says, it doesn't matter. You're over already. There's one aver that you violate when you do the shuman milsim, when you do the ketzitza, when I lend the money and I'm ketzitza, it's how much you have to give back the ribbis, even if I never collect it later on, there's already a violation of lois hasimut olam neshech. And then later on, if I do collect the ribbis, then I'm in violation of an additional aver, al tikach miito neshech lesarbis. The lois hasimut is violated when you do the shuman, when you make the ketzitza. And the additional aver is violated when you actually collect the money. So Nachum also said that ribbis ketzutza is the ribbis deraisa. Then there are three forms of ribbis derabbanan. That's what it says here on page 234, 235. He sets up the whole system very nicely. That avak ribbis is, if you're missing some of those conditions, that it should be considered ribbis ketzutza, there's only going to be ribbis derabbanan. Then you have a case which is only a mechziki ribbis. It's a marasayin of ribbis. It isn't even avak ribis midirabbanan. It's a lower level. What's the difference between alpidim, between ribis ketzutza and avak ribis? So the Gemara says one difference is that ribis ketzutza, we have the pasuk that we read in the Parshas HaShavua on Shabbos, this Pei Shabbos. So it says, al tikach miito neshech lesarbis v'chei achicha imoch. What does it mean, v'chei achicha imoch? So the Gemara has a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. How do you read the pasuk? So what's the din if someone did take ribis? Can he, if the Malvid did take ribis from the Loive, then the Loive goes later on to Bez and he says that wasn't fair. He pressured me into paying him the ribis. I had no choice. I had to borrow the money. And the Loive requests from the Bezin that they should force the Malvid to give him back the ribis. So we pass in La Locha that ribis ketzutz, if it's ribis deraisa, is yotze b'dayon. The Bezin will force him to give it back. That's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And we pass in that ribis ketzutz, yotze b'dayon, based on that pasuk. Means give him back the ribbis. Give him a chance to live. Give him back the ribbis, so he'll be able to live. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam's listing. The Rambam works. The Rambam wrote a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives you what he considers are the 14 rules and regulations to determine what qualifies as a mitzvah to be included in the minyan on mitzvahs. And then the second half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives you the actual listing, which are the 248 mitzvahs aseh, which are the 365 mitzvahs loises. So the Rambam was not the first, but he was not the last one to attempt to give a listing of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, of which are the mitzvahs. So the Ramban disagrees. Ramban deletes about 17, 18 of the mitzvahs aseh of the Rambam. He deletes about 17, 18 of the mitzvahs loises. So if he deletes about the 16, 17, 18 mitzvahs aseh, he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. Has to come out to be 248. So they're all juggling what you do include, what you don't include. So the Ramban replaced one of the mitzvahs aseh that he deleted from the Rambam's listing with this mitzvah, v'cheyach echimach, achzoras haribis, that it's a ribis kitzutza yotz b'dayonim. It's a mitzvah that the malva should return, should restore the ribis to the loiva when the loiva requests it. You have to give back the ribis. So the Rambam did not count that as a mitzvah sester. So the Megillas Esther is on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Megillas Esther is a long time ago. The Shach lived in the 1600s. He quotes already from Megillas Esther. So it was in the 1600s. And Megillas Esther always comes to defend all the Rambams. So he comes to defend, why didn't the Rambam include this mitzvah sester of Echeach Echeimach about giving back the ribis kitzutza? So he said, the Rambam counted it already. It's identical with the Heshev Esagzela. It's the same as giving back the Gzela. So why did the Ramban think that it's not included in the Heshavas Hagzela? So in yeshivas, everybody knows. There is a Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin where the Gemara has a case. I lent you $10 and I said I'm going to charge you ribbis. You're going to have the $10 for a year and I want, when you give me back the $10 at the end of the year, I want $11. $10 for the Karen, $1 for the ribbis. Comes the end of the year, so you give me back, here's a $10 bill, this is the Karen, Here's the $1, here's the ribbis. So I say, thank you. Then I take the $1 that's ribbis, he gave it. This is the keren and this is the ribbis. I take the $1, I'm a kaddish and isha. I say, hariyat mukodeshesna. So that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, machlek the seren shayinim, how to read the Gemara in the first perek in Kiddushin. Is that considered like gezel? If I steal someone else's money, I steal a dollar from someone else, I'm a kaddish and isha. So if I'm a kaddish, begezel dachrini is ain't a mukodeshes. The money has to belong to the chassan. So they say that the dollar that I collected as ribbis, the Torah says that it's not mine. So she's ain't a mekudesh. So they say, no, I violated an avera by taking the ribbis, but bottom line, the money is mine. It's a mitzvah, I should give him back the money, but it's not v'heshe b'zagzel. So that's a machlekes harishayim. So the Ritva brings a raya. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He thought that the Ritva's right was a rai she'en alea tshuva. You can't ding zel with this Ritva's absolutely right. The Ritva brings a rai from the Gemara that the dollar that he gives me as ribbis is not considered gezel. Araya, the Gemara says in the end of Bava Kamen, ha'gezel lo machil. The end of Bava Kamen, the Gemara says, this mitzvah, v'cheyachei cheimach, ha'adalei ke'echad dinechi ba'adoch, is a mitzvah on the part of the malva to give back the ribbis to the leiva. It's only lididei azar rachmana. It's only a mitzvah the malva should give back the money. What if the malva dies and he leaves everything birusha and he has an envelope? This is the $10 that he paid me for the keren, and this is the $1 that he gave me as the ribbis. So the Gemara says the yorshim are not mukhayif to give back. So the Ritva says, what do you mean? If a man stole money from other people and he dies, so the yorshim know that this is stolen money. Of course they have to give it back. That's the whole Gemara hagozel amachel. A man stole money and he leaves the money for his children. Have to give back the money to the nigzal. How can the Gemara say l'didei azrachmana librei lo azrachmana? The mitzvah doesn't apply to the children. So the Ritva says it's a dead giveaway from the Gemara that when you charge the ribbis legally, you're entitled to that the dollar, but it's an aver. You're not allowed to do it. You did an aver, but the dollar belongs to you. If you're mekadesh anisha, she will be mekadesh. So that's what the Velt says, that the Ramban doesn't hold like the teretz that the Megillas Esther gave on the Rambam. The question is whether the Rambam holds from the Teretz. It's because this is such a strong argument that the Ritva says. The Megillas Esther said the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of returning, giving back the ribbis ketzutza yosef b'dalyan, because the Rambam holds that it's identical with v'heshev v'sagzel. It's included in v'heshev v'sagzel. So that's very, very questionable. If you hold that the ribbis ketzutza yekaina, your mekadesh anisha shall be mekodesh, so it's not included in v'heshev v'sagzel. It's a separate mitzvah. That's very questionable, even if that's the correct answer on the Rambam. Could be that the Rambam maybe has a different opinion. So getting back again, we say that here, the place the Amada points out, there are four levels of ribbis. A ribbis kitzutza, if it's real bona fide ribbis deraisa, the din is yotze b'dayonim. If the leiva will request of the malva that he should return back the dollar that he paid him as ribbis, the bezim will force him to give it back, because it has separate posik in the chumash, v'cheyach echima. When it comes to Abak Ribis, the Gemara says, all the Ribis in the Rabban ain't a Yotze B'dayon. So Tosis has two opinions on Abak Ribis. Is there at least a mitzvah B'balotze Sidei Shamayim to give back the Ribis? Or you say, Afila B'balotze Sidei Shamayim also not. So that's a machlokes in Tosis. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch that on Abak Ribis, on Ribis the Rabban, Ribis Kitzutzos, Yotze B'dayonim. And Ribis the Rabbanon is B'balotze Sidei Shamayim, you should give back the Ribis. Now the Melchamas, the Ramban writes in the Melchamas on Perek Hazeh Neshech, that's only if it's Abak Ribis. What if it's even lower than Abak Ribis, only Mechziki Ribis? It's a Marasayin of Ribis. But the truth of the matter is, it isn't even Ribis because it wasn't Yosem and Akeren. Let's say Sobisor, I borrowed 2 ounces of silver. That happened a lot. So dentists sometimes borrow silver from other dentists, and then the price of silver goes up. By the time they give back the silver, they're giving back much more valuable material. So that's a din derabbanan that you're not allowed to do that. If you borrow from the next neighbor a quart of milk or a bar of butter or something, and then you're going to give it back a day or two later, so how much is the price going to change already in 2 days? Price probably not going to change. So that's it. There are more quotes from the Goyinim. There are more Yerodei quotes from the Goyinim. They interpreted the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Hazeh Neshech that's mutter. On little insignificant things. You're not talking about borrowing 100 bushels of potatoes, you're going to give it back after a year, that the price for sure is going to go up in a year. You're not talking about borrowing silver, and it's very shaykh that the price is going to go up. You borrow a household item, something, a pinch of salt or something, give back a pinch of salt, little things that the difference in value is going to be insignificant, so there are more quotes that that's mutter. But on big things, there's a din of sod. So But the Ramban writes in the Machamas that so biso isn't even avak ribis, it's only mechzik ribis. So that you don't even have the balot to sidei shamayim, a mitzvah to give it back. And then the Rambam's opinion is, that's what he has in the place Amar, the Rambam's opinion is that there's a fourth category that's called haromas ribis. Haromas ribis means, the Rambam's opinion is, not all of Rishonim agree with the Rambam's opinion is, if you have a situation of haromas ribis, it's also to set up the situation. But once you set it up, then it's even mutar lemaisa to collect it. The Rambam has a certain case in the Gemara that, just to say, al rega lachas, the Gemara has a case, let's say, I want to borrow $100. So you don't want to lend me $100 without charging interest, but the religious Jews know they're not allowed to charge ribis. So you say, sorry, I don't have $100 to lend you, but I'll tell you what, I have $100 worth of fruits and vegetables. I'll tell you what, I'll sell you the fruits and vegetables and you owe me $100. Fine. It's $100 worth of... Then he gives the guy the fruits and the vegetables. He's ready to leave the house. So he says, oh, I just found a $90 bill. I'll tell you what, I'll buy back. He had a pocket full of money. But he didn't want to lend him $100 without charging ribis. So he says, why should you go waste the whole day selling the $100 worth of fruits and vegetables and lose the whole day? I'll buy the whole thing from you for $95. So Lamaisa, what he did over here was that he made $5 on the deal. He made $5 on the deal. So the Gemara gives that as a case of a haramas ribis. Okay. So the Rambam holds that such a case of a haramas ribis is only us to set it up. But once he set it up, it's even mutter to collect it in the end of the day. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is, not all of Rishonim agree, the Ritva disagrees, but the accepted opinion is that a tzedakah organization is prohibited from lending ribis kitzutza deraisa, but all forms of ribis derabanan are mutter for a tzedakah organization. So let's say the following is also considered a form of ribis derabanan. Let's say a person is, this they do, maisim mechoyam, everybody does this. They're going to print a book and they need money to pay for the printing. So rather than borrow money from the bank, so they advertise in the newspaper, so they say the pre-publication price is $25. And if you wait till after the book is printed, then we're going to charge $35. So if people pay in advance, and strictly speaking, that's not an issue, what's the ribis? I have two prices for the book. If you pay in advance, it costs $25, and if you pay after the book is printed, it's going to cost $35. So who's in violation of ribis? I mean, the Rabbanah, we say, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Who's over our ribis over here? The ribis is like this. If you're paying for the book that you don't have yet, the book is not going to come out till another couple of months, so we consider the $25 that you give me as if you made a halvah, and then later on when I give you the book, after it's printed, I'm giving you a $35 item because of the halvah that you lent me, $25. And minat Torah. This is not called ribis. The $25 wasn't given as a halva. The $25 was given as the meha mecha, but it was a dovish lo bali yarlam. So you weren't kind of the book. The book wasn't written yet. The book wasn't printed yet. So mid the rabbanon, that's prohibited. Or let's say the same thing. Same thing. Tuition. Let's say so the school needs money in order to run. So I'm gonna my child is gonna go to this school starting from September, and the school needs money. So the tuition lama zogin is $10,000 a year. So they're so badly in need of money. So they say, if you pay us the tuition in advance, my son is not in the school yet. The school year is going to be in September. They say, whoever pays tuition in advance will give him a break. Instead of $10,000 a year, it'll cost $9,500. So minat Torah, there's nothing wrong. I'm paying for the tuition in advance. So what's down there? Mid the Rabbanu, we say, no. It's considered as if I'm lending them $9,500 and they're giving me $10,000 worth of services because of the fact that I lent them in advance the $9,500. So that's ribis derabban. So yeshiva is a tzedak organization. So if it's tzedak organizations, all the ribis derabbanans are mutter. If yeshiva is publishing a sefer and they have a pre-publication price and a post-publication price, since it's only ribis derabban, it would be mutter. But if it's a private person, Nishkan Tzedakah organization, then you're not allowed to do that.
They do it all. I see it all the time. If you register by a certain time, you pay less money. That's not allowed. Or whatever. And all these functions that people make.
The camp. So sometimes they have camps like that. So if it's a private camp, then it's Taka and Yisra Ribis Derabbanan. they're going to give you the whole summer, they're going to give you the services, which are worth, let's say, camp cost, I don't know, I never went to camp, $5,000 for a summer camp. So they say, whoever pays in advance will give you for $4,500. So if it's a private organization that, and they pocket the money, then you're not allowed to. Because the money given in advance is considered a halvua. And then they give you $5,000 worth of services for $4,500 of money. If it's a yeshiva or a federation or something like that, it's a duck organization, then we allow all the ribbis to rabbonim.
The services of the camp don't start until you actually pay. It's in the camp services. If the services of the camp's offering you don't actually start until you pay off, don't they? And you pay in advance, you register in advance for an early bird price. But the services of camp don't actually start happening
till the summer.
Right. So therefore, you're not giving the services in advance.
Right, the money that I give them in advance is considered a halvoa. And then when they give my child the whole summer experience, they're giving me $5,000 of services for a $4,500 loan. So with the Rabbana, that's ribbis. If it's a tzedakah organization, we allow it. If it's not a tzedakah organization, we consider that as ribbis the Rabbana.
That's not Yahuzuzi. Even though that's not the same thing that I've been telling you, it's not cash for cash, it's cash for services. We're doing it here, it's all ribbis.
Midirabonot, yeah, minatara, it's not a halvo. Minatara, it's not considered a halvo at all. He's paying it as the Meha Mecca.
So, foreign
art scroll also has two different prices, pre-publication. I think that's a private enterprise. I think the Balabatim pocket the money, no? That's a problem. I remember there was a Balabas, Mr. High Besson. He was a big bald stocker. He used to give, every yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael has a plaque in honor of High Besson. Every university, every yeshiva, he gave all over. So I remember his son married the granddaughter of Chief Rabbi Herzog. So Rabbi Herzog's almana, Rebbetzin Herzog, wanted people to reprint her father's svarim. Oira Yosha, Oris Ansha, 6 volumes. Originally it's around 30 volumes. But when they reprinted it, so they put them into small volumes and they're 6 volumes. So Mr. Besson was talking to me how he's going to do it. So he's going to have a pre-publication price and he's going to first sell on Chulin because everybody learns every day. I had a whole plan. So I told him that you're not allowed to do that. That's an Issa Ribbis Darabonim. So he thanked me very much, and because he never heard of that. He was in business, so he never heard of that there's an Issa Dirabon. So because of the fact that I told him that he's not allowed to have a pre-publication price and so on, so out of Hakara Satoiv, he wanted to put my name in the book. So when he printed these 6 volumes, he wrote that it's edited by Herschel Sheff. Nothing to do with that. He felt obligated to give me Hakara Satoiv, so he put my name in the book. Okay. In Yerideya, they have the following situation that people violate all the time. Let's say you need $10,000 and you want to borrow $10,000. I don't have the money to lend you, and if you'll go to the bank, you have no assets, so the bank is not going to lend you $10,000. So I have a steady job, so the bank will lend me $10,000, but they'll lend me beribis. So they make me sign, so I'll borrow from the Deutsche Bank, I'll borrow $10,000 from the bank, and I'll agree to pay whatever ribbis it is. Then I give you the $10,000 from the bank. I say, I have no time to waste on this. You take care of everything from the bank. Here's the $10,000. You see to it that everything is paid up by the bank. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm in violation of ribbis kitzutzim. Because I lent you $10,000, and the understanding is you're going to have to pay back, not to me, you're not going to pay anything back to me, you're going to pay all the money back to the bank. So that's midin orev, that's considered ribbis kitzutzim. What is orev? Orev means like this. A loiva requests a loan from a malva, and the malva is afraid to lend this poor man. He doesn't have any assets. He may not be able to pay back the money. So the fellow has a cosigner who agrees in the event that the loiva can't pay back the money. So the cosigner, the orev, says, I'll pay up the money. So the din is that Orev is Mishtabed. There's a Mishnah in the very end of Bava Basra. Orev is Mishtabed, and it's based on the pasuk in Mishle. Emarafta l'reecho, tekaita l'zakapecho, nakashta b'meipicho. Whole story in Mishle. Don't ever become a co-signer for anybody, even for your best friend. There are people who got into such trouble because they co-signed on someone else. Their roommates or whatever. A guy borrowed money from the bank and someone else co-signed. You never hear the end of the story. So it says in Mishlei, don't ever become an Orif anybody else. Okay. So what? But there is a din, an Orif, the one who agrees to pay in the event the Levi doesn't pay, so the Orif is Mechuyif to pay. So the Gemara wants to know, why is he Mechuyif to pay? The Malva lent the money to the Levi, he didn't lend the money to the Orif. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that it doesn't matter. Since the Malva lent the money to the Leiva on the say-so of the Orev said, by your lending the money to the Leiva, I accept obligation. So Matan Mois to Pliny Alpit Zivuyi is considered as if he gave me the Matan Mois. So the Yerideya, the Mechaben Yerideya, quotes from the Balei HaTesis that this is also Ribis Kitzutza based on Orev. I borrowed $10,000 from the bank, and it's a Goyisha bank, so they're going to charge me interest. I give you $10,000 and I say, here's the $10,000, and the understanding is you have to pay $11,000, not to me. You don't pay anything to me, you pay everything to the bank. I don't want to lose money on the deal. I don't want to gain money, I don't want to lose money on the deal. So it says in the Mechaber, that's considered Ribis Kitzutza. I'm in violation of Ribis Kitzutza in such a situation. You're not allowed to do that. That's considered Ribis Kitzutza. Let's say they have another case in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I have the $10,000 to lend you, but I would rather leave my money in my savings account and it'll accumulate interest. I lend you the $10,000 and I say, if I would have left the money in the bank, I would have made whatever $100 interest on my $10,000. So I want you, and I would have given that money to charity, maybe. I would have given $100 interest that I would have gotten from the bank. I would have given $100 to charity, so I'm going to lend you $100. I want you to pay me back $100. And I'm going to lend you $10,000 and want you to pay me back the $10,000. And the $100 that I would have gotten interest from the Goyish Bank, if I would have left my money there and I would have given that money to charity, I want you to give $100 to my favorite charity. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that's called Ribis Kitzutza. Why Medin Arif? Because you're giving the money to the charity, Alpit Sivuyi. That was the agreement. I lend you $10,000 and you are agreeing to pay back more than $10,000. Part of it you're going to pay back to me. Part of it you're going to pay to the charity. Or I lend you $10,000, you're going to pay $11,000 all to the bank. You're not going to pay anything to me. So midin orev, that's considered ribis kitzutz. That says in the Shulchan Aruch, in such a case, what's taka the din? So the commentaries say on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, they finish the sentence. So what's the din? Ribis kitzutz yotze bedayonim. I lent you $10,000 and I said, the $100 that I would have earned as interest from the bank, I want you to pay to charity. So you give $100 to charity. So that's Ribis Kitzutza Yotze B'Dayanim. Who's Yotze B'Dayanim? So the charity didn't do anything wrong. They're not mechuyif to give you back a penny. I have to give you back the $100. So it comes out, I thought it was going to be a nice guy. I lend you $10,000 interest free. I'm not taking any interest. I just ask you, I want you to give the $100 that I would have earned interest, I want you to give that to charity. So I have to now, when you give me back the $10,000, I have to give you back $100. I want to be a nice guy, and I lose now. I'm in violation of Ribis Kitzutza, and I have to pay you back the $100 now. That says in Shulchan Aruch. These are cases of Ribis Kitzutza that people don't think. This assumption that we make, okay. The case that I give, I lend you $10 and I say I want $1 ribbis. At the end of the year, give me a $10 bill, this is the Karen, here's the $1 bill, this is the ribbis. So many Rishonim hold that if I'm a Kaddish Anisha with the $1, she's Mekodeshes, because I'm kind of this $1. Why? Because legally, based on Choshen Mishpat, you should have the right to charge interest. It's Anisa. It's in Yerideya. That's how Baruch Be'er has. Why a Hilchas Ribis in Yerideya, second Chelek? Why isn't it Chayz Mish? But the answer is that it's not really Ben Adam Lachaveiro. It's not Gezel. It's Ben Adam Lamokim. That's where Baruch Be'er is right. So the question is, why is it legally binding? Why is Alpi Chayz Mish? But if I lend to a non-Jew, I charge Ribis, so it's not Gezel. So what's Mechayiv him to pay me the extra dollar? So this is a big debate. So many assume that it's Midin Schiris. That what if I rent the tuxedo, I can charge you for use of the tuxedo. I rent you an automobile, I rent you anything, I rent you, I can charge money. I rent you an apartment, I can charge you money. So here, when I lend you the $100,000 or whatever, I lend you $100, I can charge for the use of the money. So that's me din schiris. So others argue, what do you mean? But the din says, the minute that I lend you the money, milva lahaitzo nitno. So the money belongs to the loiver. So how can I charge you for use of your money? You have a right to use your money. How can you say that it's chiras? If I lend you an automobile, it's my automobile. I didn't give it to you, but you have to give me back the automobile. So I can, if I want, I can do chiras. I can charge you for the use of my automobile. But how can I charge you for the use of the $100 that I lent you when you use the money? The minute I give you the $100, it's your money, so you're using your own money. So that's why Rav Baruch Ber quotes in the name of Rav Chaim that he didn't think that it's midin schiris, he thought that it's midin matan mois. If I lend you $100, so that's a halvor. So the matan mois, the giving you the $100 is mechayv you to pay me back. Mechayv you to pay me back what? So let's say I lend you $100 and I say you only have to pay back 90. So do you say, you really, when I lend you $100, you really owe me back $100, but I gave you a matana, a moichel, $10? And you say, no, not moichel, $10. When I lend you, when I give you a penny, matan mois serves as a kinyan. Karka is niknes bepruta. Mekadosh anisha bepruta. So this is a pruta, is a matan mois, and when I give you $100, a matan mois is kinyan his chayv, just like matan mois can be kinyan. Kesef is kind of karkan, kesef is kind of ishu, is kind of kedushin. So here, matan mois is kind of his chayvus. So if I give you $100, if we don't stipulate one way or the other, so the stam assumption is, I lend you $100, you owe me back $100. If I stipulate and I say, I'm lending you $100, but you only have to pay back 90, means the matan mois was only kind of shibud of 90. And if I say, I'm lending you $100, I want you to pay back 110, so the matan mois was kind of shibud of 110. But it's not that I lend you 100, you owe me 100, and the extra money that I charge is based on schiris. Because kol zman, you're using my money, I have a right to charge you. No, you're not using my money, you're using your own money. So this is really a big issue. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses schar Shabbos, that you're not allowed to take any schar Shabbos. So he has a shaila, we leave our money in a bank account, and if they accumulate the interest daily, so then you're taking Schar Shabbos from the bank. So how is that permissible? Even though it's a Goyish bank, if it will be a Jewish bank, so it will be a problem of ribbis. I'm taking interest in the bank. So let's say it's a non-Jewish bank. But how can I take the Schar for Shabbos? I'm lending them the money. I'm charging them for the use of the money on Shabbos. So Moshe says the answer is Schar Shabbos b'havlor, because the bank pays the interest from midnight to midnight. So when they pay me for Friday, so Friday includes half of Shabbos, and then Shabbos includes Matzoy Shabbos. Shabbos ends before midnight on Matzoy Shabbos. So since the Schar Shabbos is not for Shabbos alone, the Schar for Friday has half chol, and the Schar for Shabbos has half chol, so that's called Schar Shabbos b'havlor. The Ramosha says, what if you have 2 days Yontif in a row? So he says, no, 2 days Yontif doesn't exist. It's a Mimonim Shachita, the first day is Yontif, and the second day is Yontif. You don't have 2 days Yontif in a row. So there is no problem. What if you have Shabbos next to Yontif? What if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? That's Kedusha Achas. So he says, Taki correct. When you close out your account, you have to leave a couple of dollars in the account. So you're not allowed to take that. You have to go, when you close your account, you have to leave a couple of dollars and leave it there, goodbye. Because the Schar Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it. The Minig Olam is not so. People close their accounts and they don't leave any money in the account. So I think the Minig Olam is they assume, not like Rav Moshe's assumption. The assumption of Rav Moshe is that it's Schar Shabbos. When I put money, when do I put the money in the bank? On Shabbos? I didn't put the money in the bank on Shabbos. I put the money, the bank is closed on Sunday. So I put in the middle of the week. So according to the way Rav Baruch Ber quotes in the name of Rav Chaim, it's not that I charge you for the use of my money. Every day you're using my money. How can I charge you for using your money? It's your money. It's not my money. So Rav Chaim claims that when I gave the money to the bank, so I did a matan mois, and I told them, and we made up in advance, this matan mois is going to be mechayev you more than I'm giving you $1,000 to put in a savings account. So I say, there's a whole chart. The bank gives me a whole chart what they agreed to. So they say, if I take out the money in a year, they're going to give me so much. If I take the money out in 2 years, they give me so much. If I take the money out in 3 years, they give me so much. So this is all, this whole chart is just, is the glory milson and mafreya. That was what the matan was machai from day number one. There was no schar Shabbos. I'm not taking any schar Shabbos. I'm not charging the bank for their use of the money on Shabbos. I made a matan mois, and the matan mois was legally machai of them to whatever they agreed to. So they agreed to with the whole chart. Depending on when they pay it back, that's how they're going to agree. So that's what we usually assume. that leaving the money in the bank is not, people usually assume, not like Rav Moshe. They assume that it's not a problem of Schar Shabbos, because they're assuming like Rav Baruch Beer says in the name of Rav Chaim. Rav Baruch Beer quotes in the name of Rav Chaim, he thought so much that the Ritva was right, that when the Ritva brought the Raya, that Lididei Azar Rachmana Librei Loi Azar Rachmana, the Torah is only Mechayiv, the Malvit to give back the money to the Loiva. The Torah was never Mechayiv, the Yorshim to give back the money. So that's a right brura that the kesef ha-halvoa, that the malva, the kesef ha-ribas, that the malva collects, is legally his money. It's just that it's a mitzvah to give it back. So why is he legally kind of that money? So Rav Chaim said, because the matan mois is mechayev. So Rav Chaim thought that it has to be like that. The matan mois has to be mechayev. And if the matan mois is not mechayev, then it wouldn't be called ribas kitzutza. The only time you're in violation of ribas deraisa is if it's ktsutza, and ktsutza means that it's legally binding. He's talking mechayiv to give it back. It's not that it's gezel. Not like the Megillah Esther suggested on the side of the Rambam, that it's a form of gezel. It's not gezel at all. It's considered that it's really mechayiv to give it. The only thing is that it's an avera to charge it, and it's an avera to collect it, and so on. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he came up with the following tremendous svara, a very compelling svara that runs as follows. The only time there's what to discuss ribis deraisa, ribis derabana, everything is only by medvar mamurim, if the one who's borrowing the money accepts upon himself a shibur aguf. What if he doesn't accept any obligation to pay? He only accepts a shibur nechasim. Is there such a thing? First, Rav Moshe discussed, is there such a thing? We know the Rishonim quote in Ksubas Daf Pei Vav, the Rabbein Adam Ragaloyma, there are two shibudim. There's a shibud aguf and a shibud nechasim. The shibud aguf means the loiva owes the money to the malva. Shibud nechasim means all the property of the loiva. The malva has a lien on his property. It's konoi b'miktsas to the malva with respect to gviya. The property of the loiva belongs to the malva with respect to gviya sachayv. So we usually assume, like the Gemara has an expression in the end of Baba Basra, nechsoi de barinish, the property that the loiva owns, inun arvinlay, it's like an orev. That just like if the loiva borrows money from the bank and you have a cosigner, it's an event, the loiva doesn't pay, so the cosigner has to pay, the orev has to pay. So here, the loiva has to pay, he accepted a shibud aguf, he borrowed money from the malva. In the event that the loiva doesn't have money to pay, then you have a right to go to the lukuchas, those who purchased the real estate from the loiva, and you can collect from them. So the Gemara has an expression, that's a b'china of orev. And that's why there's a Mishnah that says, you're not allowed to collect ein efrayim b'nechashim shibadim b'makom sheyesh b'necharim. What's the din? Let's say the loiva borrowed money from the malva, and it's time to pay. The year is up, it's time to pay. So the malva says, why should I go bother the loiva? And he's going to shell out all the money, the $10,000. I'll go to the lekuchas. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. You can only go to the lekuchas in the event that the loiva doesn't have any assets. But if the loiva has $10,000 to pay, in Ephraim, you're not allowed to collect from the lekuchas. That's called nechasim shabadim. What's that din based on? So the Rishonim say it's based on the Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra. Ein goyvim in harev tchila. If the loiva borrowed money from the malva with a cosigner, so the malva only has the right to go check with the cosigner in the event that the loiva doesn't pay. But if the loiva says I'm prepared to pay, then the malva has no right to go to the cosigner to ask him to pay, unless he's an orif kablan. Orif kablan means he's said in there are three kinds of orif. The normal Orif Stam, he only agrees to pay in the event that the loiva can't pay. Orif Kablam means he says in advance, while you are lending him the $10,000, I accept upon myself an obligation to pay you. Either you can collect from him or collect from me, whichever one you prefer. So if he said so in advance, okay. So then in Orif Kablam, you can collect from the Orif, even if the loiva has assets to pay. But in Orif Stam, then there's a third kind of an Orif. Let's say, I ask you, do me a favor, lend him $10,000, and you have no right to collect from him. You only have a right to collect from me. That's not really an orif. The third, merely I'm a loiva. I say, lend me $10,000. Instead of giving it to me, give it to him. So that's the third kind of orif. That's called in the Gemara's Lashon, that's called an orif shlov dos. That he's not at all the loiva, I'm the loiva, but the halvua to me should be accomplished by giving him the money. So just like that's it. So just like there's a din and goy the min ha'arev tchilo, you're not allowed to collect an arev stam. You're not allowed to collect from the arev, calls man the loy that has assets. So you're not allowed to collect from the chosim mishabadim and mak mishiyej b'nei charen, because collecting from the chosim mishabadim is a form of arev. That's the Gemara's expression. The end of Bava Basin, nechsoy de barinish, the property that people have, din and arvin loy. It serves as an arev and his chiyuvim. If the loy doesn't pay, you can even go collect from the lukuchas. So based on that, one could argue the point and say you can only have shibud nechosim in a case where there's a shibud aguf. If a person borrows money and he accepts upon himself a shibud aguf, so not only is there a shibud aguf, there's a cosigner also. There's a shibud nechosim to back up in the event the loyver can't pay, he doesn't have assets to pay, he can collect from the chosim mishabud. Is it possible to create a situation where I'm not accepting at all, the loyver doesn't accept any shibud aguf at all, only going to be shibud nechosim? So that's a deal. So the Avne Miluim has a pupil about that. So Moshe proves that it does exist. That's number one. He has a thesis in the beginning of Kiddushin that you can create Shibin Nechasim without Shibin Aguf. Then Moshe says we do it all the time. Whenever you have a corporation that has limited liabilities, what do you mean limited liabilities? If I lend money to the corporation and then they go bankrupt, then they go bankrupt is a different story. Let's say I lend money to a corporation and then they don't pay back the money. I lent them $100,000. Then they don't... I sold the merchandise, whatever, and they never paid me. So can I go to the shutfim of the corporation and ask him to pay? No, that's what it means. Limited liability. Corporation means that there's no shibud aguf on any of the shutfim, but there is shibud nechasim. The Moshe says that's how we paskin. It is possible to create shibud nechasim even though there's no shibud aguf at all. Even though normally we say shibud nechasim serve as an orev for the shibud aguf, so one could have argued the point and said if there's no shibud aguf, can't have shibud nechasim. He says, it's not so. That's what a corporation is all about. It's only Shibin Nechasim, no Shibin Aguf. So Moshe has a Chiddush Niflo. So he says, whenever you're lending money to a corporation, even though all the partners in the corporation are all Jewish, but since it's limited liabilities, they never accepted any Shibin Aguf. It's only Shibin Nechasim. So he says, he claims that there's no Issa Ribis there, Issa the Rabban is nothing. Everything is absolutely Hetagomer. So Rav Moshe says he thinks this is only if the loyve is a corporation. If the malve is a Jewish corporation, let's say a Jewish bank is a corporation. So a Jewish bank, Jews will put money into a Jewish bank, and the Jewish bank will pay them interest. So Rav Moshe says that's mutter. This is in the second Chelek Yeredei. Rav Gedal Yeshua from Torah Vadas, Anna Mechutin, Frischwasser from London. Every Jewish building in London has a Frischwasser man. All the shuls and all the every mikveh and every Jewish institution was supported by Frischwasser. So he was a banker. So the shaila was, are Jews allowed to leave their money in a frumah bank? They're paying interest. And Moshe gave him a tshuva that it's mutter to pay interest. Why? Because since the loiva is the corporation, the bank is incorporated, it's limited liabilities, so there's no shibud aguf. But if the bank is going to lend money to the Jews, so even though the bank is... There's no shibud aguf, but the bank is the malva over here. And if the loiva is a private personal individual, so then there will be an issa. The kula of the corporation only goes if the loiva is a corporation. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has in his sefer, he has on Ribis, so he says he would have liked it. He doesn't refer to the fact that Rav Moshe said that. He writes he would have thought of said that svara also, but it's against the Beferish and Taisus in Bava Metzia, the end of Perikah Zeh Neshech. So I'm sure Rav Moshe had an answer. Moshe knew Isaiah Neshech, he knew Shas by heart. Unbelievable. People, he sometimes said things and he said, it's enough in the Gemara. He said, no, he read the wrong shot in the Gemara. Ribbis also, he was an expert on Ribbis. I don't know what his answer is on this. Maybe he has in one of the later volumes of Yeredei, he has a long kuntres, 100 pages long on Yeredei or Hilchas Ribbis. Maybe he has an answer, I don't know. But in Eretz Yisrael, they're not happy about Rav Moshe's kula. So there they don't permit it. Even if the loiv is a corporation, they say that takes off ribis deraisa, but they think that it's still going to be an isor of ribis derabbanan. There is a gemara in Ksubis where it doesn't belong. The laws of a ribis should be in Perikah Zeh Neshech. So there is a gemara in Ksubis where the gemara is talking about the moitzi shemra. So the Gemara sounds like they're saying that in order to violate ribis in the context of Moshe Shem, in order to violate ribis deraisa, has to be dovah hametaltel begufa mamon. We often have such a klal of prata klal that the din of shvuah, the din of shomer, the din of meila only applies if you have dovah hametaltel begufa mamon to the exclusion of karka avadim ishtoris. So So from the Gemara it would appear as if there's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa if I lend you by check. Let's say I lend you $100 by check and I expect you to pay me back $110 at the end of the year by check. Everything is going to be done by check. The check is Davashen Guf Amam. The check is a Shtach. So the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like there's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa. It's only an Issa Derabbanan. There's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa if it's a Davashen Guf Amam. So this is a big machlokes harishayim. So you look in Simakuf Samach Aleph, so they quote there, it's clearly a machlokes harishayim. The question is, which way did the Rav Harishayim think? The Rav Harishayim think that it's only Ribbis Derabbanan, or the Rav Harishayim think that it's Ribbis Deraisa? Nafkamina, for it's a charity organization, for a stock organization, would you permit that or not? Nafkamina, whether Yotze B'Dayan? But by us, most of the halvos are done by check. People don't lend money like this and expect back the money in kitsch. So if everything is done by check, that's a big machlokes whether that has the status of ribbis deraisa or ribbis derabbanan. The laws of ribbis are very fascinating. It's really we come up with these cases very often. Okay, we should really have to be a little more careful. Gemara has a ribbis al menas lahachzir is also awesome. Ribbis al menas lahachzir, when I lend you the ribbis, I do the ktsitsa, I make the shuma, so I already am a violation of losa simit all of neshech. Then when I collect it, the Gemara says I'm a violation of an added isa, atikach mito. So what if when I collect the ribbis, I run a bank, I can't put on the sign, to Jews I lend the ribbis, and to non-Jews I charge ribbis. So that's it, I do privately. So when you pay me the ribbis, I whisper in your ear, don't worry, come to me tomorrow, give me back the money. So the Gemara says the ribbis al menas lahachzir is still awesome. So there is a big question. Maybe that only applies to ribbis deraisa. Maybe ribbis derabbanan, ribbis al menas lahachzir would be mutar. So that's what the Sfasemis interprets in the Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin, which is repeated in Perek Hazel Neshech, part of this story comes from Erechin. So the Sfasemis on Erechin claims that that's the key to that whole Gemara. But ribbis deraisa is bin adam lamokain. And even Amanas Lahachzi isn't going to help. Ribbis Derabbanan is only been Adam HaVeiro. You have quite a few dinim and Shulchan Aruch that seem to indicate like that. That there's a fundamental difference between Ribbis Deraisa and Ribbis Derabbanan. Maybe Ribbis Derabbanan, all the forms of Ribbis Derabbanan, it's only been Adam HaVeiro. So if I tell them in advance, Amanas Lahachzi, so this Fasemis thinks that may take up the Issa Ribbis Derabbanan. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says not like this Fasemis. He wrote Eshtikol Torah on the Gemara. It fits in very good in the Gemara. But in the Shulchan Aruch it says that even Ribbis Derabbanan al menas lahachzir is not allowed. Okay.
Good.
Welcome to you.
Very, very informative.